Let's all stand, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege and an honor, Lord, it is to gather in your house once again this night. Lord, everything we have, Lord, every desire we have, Lord, we got it from you, Lord, and we're so very thankful this night, Lord, that you gave us the desire to come, and Lord, to sing praises unto thee, Lord, for what you've done for us, and to hear thy word, Lord, to grow another step on that great ladder. Lord, just let us see the revelations in these songs, Lord. There's a revelation there, God. Lord, show that to us, oh God. Lord, as we're singing these hymns, Lord, that you've prepared, have your way in this service, and we'll give all the glory and honor to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let's turn our Capstone Life books to page 45. Reach out and touch the Lord. Amen. Was a dark and stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were so fearful of the fury of the sea. Out upon the raging waters walked the blessed Lord of life. He calmed the troubled water as he walked by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out, amen, as he walks by, as he walks the dusty wayside on his way. Cried a woman, I must touch him or I'll die. She reached out and touched the Lord as he walked by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. And touch the Lord as he walks by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. I must touch him, cried a woman. I must touch him, or I'll die. Amen. She was desperate. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Page 19 in the same book. Amen. Kneel at the cross.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice. Leave him your new care and begin life anew. Oh, kneel at the cross. Leave every care.
I love this little song.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal. Did ever saints find this friend forsaken? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him. Amen.
Settles, would you like to take up the offering?
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly grateful.
Amen.
Lord, for every opportunity we have, we can gather in. Lord, with great anticipation of the Lord, the service ahead of us.
Yes.
Being able to hear your word, Lord, and allow it to come down in our hearts. May every mind be clear. May their hearts be open. Father, we pray that you would grant to each and every the word that we have need of in our individual lives. Father, and also we pray, Lord, that you would just bless this offering. Give us, Lord, and Lord, the goodness and the bountiful. Multiply it, Lord. And may your will be done in everything. We ask all this, Father, in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Hold the fort. Amen. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. So let us wait the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Oh, let us hold.
Lord, that finish line. And Lord, we're just thankful, Lord, because it's you that put that.
pray for our brother tonight as he brings forth the word, Lord, that each and every one of us would be hungry and pulling, Lord, and we just ask again, Lord, for revelation, Lord, as our brother said, that Father, that you would reveal it unto us, and just something that would be spoken, Lord, to help us in our walk with thee, to draw closer to you, Father. Lord, we just love and appreciate you tonight, and we just give you all the glory and honor and praise in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Anybody have a song burning on their heart tonight? A song you've been thinking about today?
You know, number 15 in the captain book.
Number 15. Who am I? When I think of He came so far from glory. Came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. This question, who am I, man? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, He go for, who am I? When He tells me in His word, I'll leave me never. Just a true He fights my battles. Amen. Yes. think of that little song, Unworthy. And sometimes I feel that way. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus, I Love Him, as our brother comes, our standing.
I love you.
But think as we sang that little chorus, Who Am I? As he says that he would pray, not my will, but thine, Lord. And how many times we can see in our lives that maybe things weren't going the way we wanted them to go, but can we find the same grace and a love in our heart to pray that same way, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? You know, it was a mighty thing he done for us.
Yeah.
And oh my, may we truly give it our lives back to him. Be willing. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we've once more come and gathered here today, Lord, under the precious anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and we know you're here with us, for you said where two or three would be gathered, you would gather in the midst. And Lord, we've just come to let you have your way and to speak to our hearts, Lord. And Father, your word is spirit and is life, and it's inspired. And Lord, we just ask that these few scriptures and a couple quotes you've laid upon my heart, though rehearsed and read many times, Lord, may it find a new little spot in our heart, Lord, or start a new little sprout growing somewhere, Lord, of something to grab a hold of, Lord, that somewhere in the near future, maybe it'll be a stepping stone that, Lord, that you can build upon in our heart or in our life, Lord, to show us the next rung, to help us reach up higher, and Lord, to keep pressing on throughout this life, till we be exactly what you would have us be. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for everything. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my, I love him. Amen. Hallelujah. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles to the book of John, if you would. A very familiar little text. And I actually kind of brought something along this line real similar probably several months ago. But as last Thursday evening after we got done ministering, with some of us brothers were standing outside and just kind of talking, and something was said, and it just kind of been on my mind and heart, and I got to thinking about it a little bit more. Make sure I wrote that down right. Amen. I believe it's Luke, the 5th chapter. Went and got us off track. Just one moment. Bear with me. Let me find it here real quick. Amen. That's something. Had it marked out there and just lost it like that. Amen. Yep, Luke, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry. I looked right over top of it. Thought I had the right one. Let's start in verse start there at the first. Actually, let's read this and then you can sit down. Luke, the third chapter and the 38th verse. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. May the Lord add the blessings of reading his word, and you may be seated. As I was beginning to read this is not where my message is going, but I couldn't help but notice how God does things. And I just wanted to point this out for a moment. Here's Peter's mother-in-law, and she's healed of this disease. And Peter saw that take place. And Jesus is just beginning his work, his ministry. He ain't even called his disciples yet. And then let's go to the fifth chapter of the book of Luke, and then I want to read this. And he says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And I want you to notice how this situation happened before. And Peter saw that what Jesus said was happening. It took place. He rebuked that fever out of his mother-in-law and it left. So when Peter's sitting there in the boat, and though they've fished all night, and Peter was a great fisherman, they made their life that way. They knew where the fish were. And in their own mind, when Jesus said, go back out and let down the net, he probably thought it was worthless. The sun was coming up. The sun had been up for a while. The water temperature, you know, as a fisherman, you think of all the situation taking place. But yet, thy word is what he said. Lord, at thy word, I'll let down that net. And in obedience to God, what God's word said to him, that net went down and it came back up full of fish. And that's kind of my little text tonight, and we spoke on it before, but obeying God and taking God at his word. And if he says it, just say amen to it and move on and let God do the work. God is obligated to his word. And all we're obligated to do is to take it and to believe it and accept it and let God do the manifesting of the word in our life. I'd like to turn over now to let's go to 1 Kings. In the 17th chapter, very familiar little situations. But I want us to listen as we read through them. God put all of these things in here for our admonition. Every day we walk, situation in life we face happens for a reason. And oftentimes as human beings, we can't truly see what's going on around us. We see the situation that's taking place, and we may not know what's going to come 5 years down the road. We may not know what's going to come tomorrow. But God's in control of all things, and he knows where everything lays and when everything's falling right into place. But as we begin here in the 17th chapter, and we'll just start there at about the 8th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And I want you to think of that. Look at this woman's situation. It was a real situation. They were starving to death. They had nothing except what she had in her hand. And don't just let it be a story, saints. It was a reality. That little woman was going in to prepare that little cake, and she knew that was the end of it. When she ate that, it was going to be over. There would be nothing left but death for her and her son. But I want you to listen. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Listen now. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want you to notice that. It was the word of the Lord that Elijah was speaking to her. Amen. I want you to think about it. He was telling her exactly. There, and he said exactly, thus saith the Lord. And you watched it happen just like that. Amen. That barrel never wasted, and that oil never went dry. And just think of the situation, saints, and put yourself there now. That was for her day. That was a promise that was spoken to her, and God fulfilled it and brought it right down to the letter because she obeyed the voice of the Lord and what he told her to do. And that barrel was always there, full, and how plentiful things were. We live in a day where God has said there we'd have a bride that would not fail. And he said he would never leave her nor forsake her. And he said to consider the lily, they don't toil or spin. And how he clothes that little flower, and how don't take thought for what you're going to eat. Don't think of what raiment you're going to wear tomorrow or what tomorrow's going to bring for you. But give it all to God and be content with such things as you have. And I just want you to think of all of this word that we have now. And every time we come in here and gather, who's speaking to us? And I wish I could stress it enough that it's God, and that we could see that our precious pastor brought the messages here not long ago trying to show us how God spoke through those prophets and how we need to get a revelation and a reality that it's God speaking to us through his precious word, and how that this word is instructions for life. Just like this, the God give instructions through Elijah to that little woman. He comes here every time we come in here and gather. God's word's laying here giving us instructions for life. Amen. Give us honest instructions to be prepared for that day when we're going to be caught away. Oh my saints, how it ought to begin to become such a reality into our hearts that this world is temporal and swiftly passing away. Man's life is but a vapor, here a while and gone. It fadeth like a flower. But God's word is forever. And the promises God's made us shall live on forever. They're not going to pass away. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. And how this is where we find our comfort. It's where we find our strength. This is where, as that little woman was reach out and touch the Lord, oh, she must touch him. And how in this day we live, and we can truly see that without this, we're nothing. We're going to die. We're going to perish. We have no hope. We have no joy. We have no peace. But if we can take the instruction that the Lord has given and follow it to the letter, watch God take our lives in his hands and watch him work wonderful things in our hearts. Amen. But we must follow the instructions God gives in everything that he brings. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings, 5th chapter. Another very familiar scripture. Amen. These were real situations, though. That's what I want you to understand. God knows all about us. And you may, as I talk about these things and we look at these situations, even in our own life right now, God knows exactly what we have need of. He knows if there's not enough money laying at home to pay the bills tomorrow. He knows if I don't have enough money to put gas in my car to get to work. He knows if my wife has a special need that she really needs. And maybe I don't have the way of giving her what she needs or making the way, but God knows all things. Maybe my children have something they really, really need, but I don't have the means. I don't have the way to provide that thing, but God does. God can meet any need you got. It's been proven over the years, and there's countless testimonies that what God can do for you, that little elect. If you'll take Him at His word and believe Him and trust Him and obey Him, obedience, full obedience to the full word of God will entitle you to the token, Brother Branham said. And if you've got that token, I don't care if there ain't nothing sitting on your table. And you sit down and pray, as it's been said, some would even pray and the knock would come at the door that the food was going to be presented that they could have a meal. Saints, God is real. These aren't stories. These aren't things that just happened by chance, but God let these things happen. Just like everything we're fixing to read in this Bible happened for our admonition, that we would be able to read it and draw strength, and that we could, it would increase our faith and our revelation and our to reach out and get a hold of God and to hang on to Him, a reality to Him. Not just a hope, not, oh, I'm hoping and I want God to do this, but a true reality that I've took it to God in prayer and I'll leave it there. There's a peace that comes with it. To know that God's in control of the situation. Here in 2 Kings in the 5th chapter, 1st verse. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherewith consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha never even went out there. Did you notice that? Elisha was... God had showed Elisha what to do, but Elisha never walked out there. He sent a messenger out there. He sent a messenger unto him and said, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Amen. God's word. Amen. Just think about it. There's the instruction comes straight from God. Amen. And he said, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And I wonder today, if we don't expect a great big show, we're expecting something from God and we expect it to be something big and great, when God deals in humble things, little things, to show you that he is God and that he's alive. And this man knew nobody could heal him. He knew there was not no one in the land that could heal be a leprosy. But here this man told him, this man that a little maid said, I know he can, if he could get to him, God could heal him. And he says here, he says, but call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abna and Pharaoh, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. His idea. Immediately his idea sprang up. I ought to do it this way. Why can't I go over here and worship in this water? Why can't I have it like this? But that's not what God's word said. And we must always follow the instruction of God's word to the letter. What God said, he means. And it's not the pastor's idea. It's not Brother Branham, our prophet's idea that God sent in this age. It's not my idea, but it's the word. The word, what God said and sent. That's what matters. And that's our instruction in this day. And oftentimes we think, well, that church just believes that way.
No, that's not the church. It's God's word is what we're holding as a standard. And we must see that it's God's word that means more to us than anything. And if that's the why, was the word comes, we're checking our life up. I'm not trying to measure up against our pastor. I'm not trying to measure up against another brother sitting in the church, but I'm measuring up against God's measuring stick Amen. That he left here. Amen. This is what we're measuring up by. And he says here, he says, and his servants came near and they spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather than when he saith thee, wash and be clean? And then when he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. It just didn't get partway clean. It became like it was a brand new skin of a baby child. Think of that. God don't do nothing halfway. When he does it, it's perfect all the way through, and it'll be God that gets the glory and the honor from it. Amen. Amen. You know, we see this word come, and how we see it changing our lives. And oh my, we could get up here as men, and maybe our pastor could come as being the pastor of this church and say, you're going to do it like this, and you're going to do it like that, and this is the way it's going to be around here. And maybe we might get the outward man looking halfway decent. But God's not worried about just the outward man looking halfway decent. He's worried about him doing it. And when he does it, it's clean from the inside out, and it's perfect all the way through, and it'll hold true in everything that's said and done. It'll bring glory back to him. But oh my, God deals in making sure that what he does, it gives glory and honor back to him. And oh my, how we should be interested in making sure that it's happening in our lives just like that. But oh my, oftentimes we wonder why things aren't the way they are. But maybe we feel it ought to be more like this. But are we truly taking God at his word? Are we truly following every letter? And letting him lead and guide and doing exactly what he's trying to do over the show us through his word and instruct us? Or in my heart, am I bucking him? I don't want to yield to maybe this certain thing over here or that certain thing over there. Maybe it's a wife being submission to her husband. I just don't want to be that submissive wife. Or maybe it's a husband and I just don't want to love my wife. I just can't bring myself to do it. Or maybe it's a parent and I just don't want to correct my child the way that I should. All of these things are little words of instructions that's been left for us. And every one of them must be followed to the letter, to the stature of a perfect man. That's what the ministry was giving for, till we all come into the unity of the faith, into the stature of the perfect man. Oh my, how we ought to cry out to God to open our hearts that, Lord, let me truly see the word that you're bringing. Let me see that it's you, Lord. Let there be a veil there, and rent that veil that I can truly see that it's you speaking to my heart, and not just words being read off of a page, or it was just a book, Brother Branham, a message he preached in 65. But Lord, it's your word, and you're speaking to me only. Amen. I want to just real quick, I'm going to read this in Acts 2:38 to go with it before we get off of it, just to show that God always give instructions. And Brother Branham always held to this all the way down through his message. He always said that when this prescription was given, to always follow it. Amen. And just read it. Start there at Acts, the second chapter. And we'll read the 14th verse. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be known to you this day and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And oh my, how he began to get on. And then he said, 22nd verse, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up to loose the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. And you drop on down there, he says, and therefore the house of Israel know assuredly, the 36th verse, the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye, this God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter, and to the rest of apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this utward generation. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want you to watch that same word, God's word, being spoken in the place that he's provided way. Prick the hearts and watch it change the lives of those men right to the water they went. They didn't have to be beat to go get in the water. It took them right there, right now. And this word today will do the same thing. As it comes forth into the heart of the little elected and that believer, it will bring about the results right along the line of the word. But you've got to take it and believe every word and follow it and take it in full obedience to what God is saying do. But God always gives instructions. He's never left us with not knowing where we're standing or what to do or where to go. But he's always pointing the way. But we've got to be willing to follow him and to take him and say, Yes, Lord. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to do that. It's, you know, this is in the Message. Perseverance, preached January 13th, 1963. Now, did you notice people, they want to get this and get healed and get the Holy Spirit the way they think they ought to have it. And I'll come down, brother, if you'll bring me up, take me into a room where nobody will see me and lay your hands upon me and bless me. Put the Holy Ghost in me, I'll accept it. Oh, no. And just think of that. Oftentimes we want all the blessings of God. We want all that comes with being a Christian, but sometimes we just don't want to surrender our life and let him have the full preeminence, the full sway in our life. Them blessings aren't to us if we're not in full obedience to his word. And how we ought to, that's why our pastor has tried to show us, get in there, make sure that token's applied. There will be no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And if our hearts condemn us not, we have what we ask for. Think of these things, saints, as our brother has preached his heart out, bringing these things back to us, how we ought to take heed that, and pay the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. He says Naaman wanted to accept his healing like that one time, but Elijah told him to get out there in that old muddy Jordan and dip seven times. And I can just see him get off his chariot, oh, a great man, hold his nose up. Here he comes out in the water, tiptoeing like a cat in molasses, you know. Coming out like this, you know, getting out like that, getting down in the water. He said, oh, I hate to do this, and hot dog down. And some people comes to the altar like that. It's a sickening affair for them. Yeah, oh, I don't want to do that. And oftentimes that's how the word comes, and oh, I don't agree with it, but I'm going to do it. I don't like this, but I'm going to go on. The attitude, God's looking at our heart. He knows all about us, and he's already seen we don't have a desire to obey him. What then more than can we ask? Oh, Lord, I need a new car. Lord, I need a house. Lord, I need a new job. God's going to listen to you. It must come by God's provided way. Obey obedience to the full word of God. One title to you to the token and every promise God has given us. But we must take him at his word. He means exactly what he says. You must follow the instructions that he's given us in this day. And he says, he ducked one time. I still got leprosy. And the prophet said seven times, right, until he obeyed the word completely. And until you obey it completely. And he had a good man standing on the bank that said, the prophet said seven times. Father, see, just keep on dipping. That's it. You don't get it the first night. Just dip again. And the next night, just keep on till you get it. And how we can truly see that God has made sure that we keep hearing, keep dipping, keep dipping. God is up here every service. The word keeps coming, chipping away at us. Keep dipping, keep going. There's higher heights to climb. Keep going, keep going. Oh my, till we get the promise will be fulfilled in our life completely. But oh my, we must follow the instructions of the Lord and not hold back on anything. We must have a full surrender to the word and totally give our bodies as a living sacrifice over to him that he can have the full preeminence, the leadership of our life. Amen. This is in the Message, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Page 9. This was preached April 2nd, 1964. He said, he's going to speak about Abraham just for a minute. So we find out God speaking to Abraham here at the altar and told him what to do. And finally, Lot, when the question come up between Abraham and Lot, was his brother Haran's son. It would be his nephew finally said, we are brethren now. We won't have any quarrels among us. Now, if you go east, I'll go west. And if you go west, I'll go east. You'll just separate yourselves. There's plenty of room here for all of us. You just go make a choice now. That was the real Christian spirit in Abraham. Give even the enemy the benefit of the choice. So he let him take his way. And Lot, like so many today, seen the opportunity. If he ever got away from the strictness, why, he might make himself a few dollars. He might be a popular man. So he looked down towards Sodom, and it was a well-watered land, a big city, fine, industrious, salt, and so forth. And they had exports from there, and then again it was a full of big time, women with all their Jezebel paint and everything, just a great time. And his wife felt a little that way too, because we find out after he become a mayor down there, she kind of liked that way. And the people, and the only thing you have to do is get mixed up with something, see? God wants you to separate yourself and get so far away from things till you don't even see them at all, that you want to see one thing, and that's him and what he promised. Amen. But he says, but Abraham stayed with the promise. And then we find out as it goes on, as they separated themselves and Lot, Abraham took the poorer grounds, little way, and stayed up there where there was not much grazing for his cattle. But he was ready to take the way. And sometimes as God begins to lead us along, sometimes we see ourselves being separated, maybe even from our very natural family. We begin to see the separation take place, and we start to see that we don't want to partake of the things they're partaking of. We see it drawing us back into the Word, drawing us away from maybe the mainstream of the way things are running. But God is pulling us back, pulling us to Him, that His Word means more to us than what my family thinks of me, means more than what the men on the job think of me, or what someone else thinks of me. But His Word becomes such a reality to me that it's all that matters, is what's my walk with me and the Lord. But he said, but he was ready to take away because God had put him in that land. And that's where he wanted to stay, ready to take it. And when he finally fully obeyed God, when he finally obeyed God to its fullness, to separate himself completely, it was then the Lord appeared to him again. And until he did that, the Lord stayed away from him, Abraham. But when he fully obeyed, God appeared to him. And he said, Abraham, lift up your eyes. Look east, look west, look north, look south. All of it belongs to you. Amen. And I like that. And oh my, how we ought to look full into God's wonderful face of the promises that He's given us. And oh my, the promises that lay there for us. But if we'll just take Him and believe Him, every word, and surrender ourselves to Him and let Him have the preeminence. Amen. And take the Word and weigh up and measure up our lives and make sure we're measuring up to the mark of what God is showing us in this last day. Amen. This is in the message, the patriarch Abraham. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This was preached in February 7, 64, and this is paragraph 5. We'll start about paragraph 4. Abraham was just an ordinary man. He wasn't something special. God never called him, as far as we have any record, until he was 75 years old. His wife, which was his half-sister, being 65 years old at the time, they'd probably lived together since they were very young, and she was barren, had no children. God called a complete separation to separate himself from the rest of the world, from all of his people and from all of his kindred. There was a special thing for him to do. And as we sang that little song, Who Am I? That God would separate me out. That God would call me and place something down in my heart. That there would be a longing to serve him, a longing to please him, a longing to walk different from everyone else in this world. Something burning greater than all this world has to offer. There's no longing for it. There's no, oh, I want to be like that and I want to be like this. But God drawed me, just like he drawed Abraham for this purpose. He's drawed you for a purpose. He's called you for a purpose, separated you out. Maybe you wasn't raised in church, maybe you was, but somewhere in your life things begin to change and your views change and something down on the inside began to hunger and thirst. God drawing you to him, pulling you into the place where he wanted you to be, that he could perform his work for you. Just like God saw in his mind that little woman that he was going to let that food run out and she would be in that situation that she was in, starving to death. And oh, but he saw that he was going to send his prophet down there and he was going to be glorified. That he was, thus saith the Lord, it worked right down the line. It was written on those pages and today we're still reading about it. Still drawing strength from the things that God done then. But God can do those same things today for us if we'll let him. Amen. When God expects you to do a special thing, he demands a complete separation from any doubt. You've got to come to full obedience to obey what he says. God demands that you can't do it no other way. And he always sets an example, and that was an example of a complete separation from all of his family, all of his kindreds, and so forth, to walk a separated life to God. Years passed and nothing happened, but still Abraham held on. He was not discouraged. Amen. Maybe we started walking this journey a long time ago. saying there was going to be a rapture. God's coming back to catch that little bride. And maybe now there's people scoffing at us. You've been believing that for 40 years. And now look, you're getting to be an old man. You're getting to be an old woman. And you still believe that. But there's something done on the inside, just like Abraham. He didn't get discouraged. He never staggered at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. Year by year as it went by, no doubt many critics come by and said, Abraham, father of nations, how many children do you have now? That didn't stagger him. No child, Sarah was past the time of life and bearing children. Of course, way beyond menopause, but still, Abraham believed God just the same. And he made preparations for the baby because he knew and was fully persuaded that God could not make a promise that he was not big enough to back up. And by God's grace, he said he would finish the work that he started in me. Amen. And by God's grace, I know he's more than big enough to finish and bring me to that place, to the unity of the faith. Till I come to the stature of the perfect man. Stature of Christ. Oh, my saints, how we ought to take heed to the precious word as it comes forth. It's not just words being read. It's not just our pastor's idea of what how we ought to live or maybe this or that. But we ought to search the word. Search it out. It's God speaking to us. And if I didn't believe that God was feeding me when I came into a little building, I wouldn't even gather there. But I come because I know God is here. And he's here to meet me, and I pray that you feel the same way, that as you come, he's here to meet you. And what he lays out for us, it's for his benefit, to be glorified and to honor. But oh my, look what he can do for you in your life. Look what he can use you for. But we must have full obedience to his word. We must take him and believe everything and follow every instruction right down the line. We can't mix, I'll do this way and this with the word, and I'll keep my idea here and I'll keep the word here. Nope, our ideas, our opinions all have to go. And it's got to come back to one thing centered to the word and will of God. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. That he would get the glory and the honor out of our lives. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. It's a few simple words, but I pray that it'll stir into our hearts into a way that we don't know what the Lord has for us and what messages may come in the next few weeks. But as they come, may we be open, and may we be receptive to what God has, and may we truly humble ourselves just as Peter did in that boat. Lord, I'm an unworthy man. He didn't want to stand up and argue with him or fuss with him, but he just humbled himself down and said, Lord, oh my, may we be the same. Humble before him in love, loving him, and letting him have the preeminence of our lives. Saints, it's worth it all to be his child. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, it's worth it all to be his child.
It's worth it all to be his child, to serve him through each last long mile. It's worth it all to feel his power.
Saints, amen. You know, God is so precious. I was thinking as we read those things, as our brother had read a while back, Brother Branham, as he went through his troubles and trials and his wife dying and his baby dying, but how that anchor holds down on the inside. How there's something that though this old flesh is breaking down, maybe just can't hardly see to go another mile, but God is always mindful of his little elect. He's always there to be a soft, sweet whisper, a helping hand, whatever it needs. He's always there, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he didn't say we'd have all we wanted, but he said he'd provide our needs.
Amen.
And by God's grace, I can truly say he's always provided our needs. Amen. I love him and appreciate him for what he's doing for us. Amen. Pray God will continue to bless our brothers. Maybe his voice is a little weak, a little strained, but God knows every time. You know, sometimes with a pastor, they want to preach. So they can't just come and set, even if their voice is maybe scratchy. Because he sure want to preach and then maybe put a strain on. But God has a purpose for sometimes letting things happen. Just at certain times, maybe to give a break. He took Elijah up, set him down by a brook, and had the ravens feed him. God does all things. Every situation that happens in life happens for a purpose. Nothing goes through that's just happening by chance. If the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God, and oftentimes as we walk this life, we may have situations happen in our own natural lives, and we may look at that situation and really wonder. And always remember Job. God didn't give him no warning when he told him, Satan, you can have him. God didn't go down and tell Job, Job, I'm going to let Satan work on you a little bit. Job had no idea when his world fell apart in a day. Everything he knew and loved and had, it's gone. And there he stood. But oh my, when his wife said, you ought to just curse God and die. Well, oh, you speak like a foolish woman. Oh my, saints, if we could just have a portion of what Job had. To hold him. Amen. What a real man. God. Hallelujah. To see that burn in his heart. Though he had nothing. Oh, sit out there, his body aching and pain and hurting. But yet a joy in his heart. And still be able to praise and worship the Lord. How it ought to burn in our hearts. Lord, make us more like the men of old. As they used to sing that song. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit. Burn in me. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us. And Lord, though these words maybe doesn't seem like a great big shouting message, Lord, and Lord, it's definitely not a teaching message for me, for Lord, I'm not that, don't have that gift. But Lord, through the exhortation of your precious word back to our hearts, Lord, may it somehow find some bedding ground, Lord. And Lord, though it may seem small and in our eyes, Lord, maybe we wonder why this, why that. But Lord, you know all about us. And Lord, you knew tonight we were going to gather here. And you knew what songs we were going to sing, Lord. And you knew what would be spoken. And Lord, you also knew how we would go out and what our attitudes would be about the things that we had heard. And Lord, how we pray that as you look down into our hearts, you see a willingness, Lord, a humble spirit and a contrite spirit, Lord. Just saying, Lord, let your word be to me as you will, Lord. As little Mary said, just let it be to me. Lord, may that truly be the desire of our heart, that, Lord, that everything you speak and say, Lord, would be manifested and vindicated in our lives. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless those that are sick and afflicted tonight, Lord. Raise them up, touch their bodies. And Lord, Brother Bobby, we pray you'll just remember him, keep touching him. Lord, just keep giving him the strength that he needs to build into his upper body, Lord. Give him the health that he needs to keep eating and keeping his mental strength up, Lord. And Lord, any of those that just need a special touch, a special little boost, Lord, I pray that you would move in a special way down, Lord, maybe in the quietness of their room, maybe while they're laying up on their bed, Lord, and just give them a special little touch to let you know that you're always there, Lord. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, you're there to provide everything we have need of. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Just help us, Lord, to be good soldiers, Lord, worthy of everything, Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus as we go. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Timothy,
yes, I'm sorry.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can. Amen. We appreciate you, and we're glad we're able to be there to help. That's never an easy thing to have to go through. And, you know, as we was talking outside the other night, even Jesus, when Lazarus passed away, how he sat and wept and how his heart broke. He was a man, and he wept as a man, and how he knows exactly what we feel every time.
Amen. And I think that's why he could say he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He knew. He knows every moment we have to go through in this life.
Amen.
And I believe he can be there to be the strength that we have. Amen. I was going to sing that little chorus, "We're part of the family," but I don't know what page. I thought it was in that book, but it's not. Amen. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry together. But we're part of that family. Amen. By God's grace, one of these days, we're going to be home and there'll be no remembrance of this life down here. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you. Bless you. Come back Sunday with your hearts open. Amen.